love being a woman. I'm so glad God made me a woman.
I like being a woman because that's what God made me to be.
I love being a woman because that's who God designed me to be.
I love being a woman. I think that we have a unique and powerful opportunity for influence as we embrace the way that we were designed and function as God created us to, because that's where our strength lies, because that's how we were created.
I'd like to share my personal experience about why I believe feminism is harmful.
I think it has hurt women by making them feel insecure and making them feel like they have to perform a certain way in order to be accepted.
It hurts men and women, but men, it degrades and devalues them and tries to get them out of the picture. Whereas how it hurts women is that no longer are we needing, or it gives the idea that we don't need men.
It makes men insecure. I think it makes them feel unneeded.
I was the primary provider for my household, and that created a lot of resentment towards my husband, and just a lot of anger on my part.
I was on a mission to find beauty and acceptance outside of God. I didn't even realize it, but my childhood consisted of nothing but matriarchy.
First of all, it's contrary to God's purpose. We were designed differently than men. We were designed by God and were fearfully and wonderfully made, as Psalm 139 tells us. We were also designed to be helpmates and completers. In Genesis, God said that it's not good for man to be alone, but to have a suitable helpmate. And so God made us his helpmate. And after that, he was done with his creation and everything was good. So we ended and we completed something that God was starting there. Another thing about feminism is that it's counterproductive. Originally, its purpose was dominating men, one sex dominating the other. And now they've done that. They become dominators over everyone else. So men don't have a voice, and if you don't agree with feminism, you're cast out too.
I was bold. I was just flat out mean.
I feel at the heart of feminism is discontentment, rejecting who I am created to be something else, to compete and fight and claw for that which I wasn't created to be. It doesn't deal with shame by washing it away like the blood of Jesus did. It offers me to deny my shame and say I don't have it and live shamefully and be proud of it.
My mom would constantly say, if you've got it, flaunt it. So that's how you were supposed to dress if you wanted a man to notice you.
This makes no sense. And it doesn't bring healing and wholeness to the heart.
You know, along with holding a lot of that resentment, I had a lot of pride. I had a lot of pride, and I rarely asked my husband for opinions or for his thoughts on anything. Any major decisions, most times I would do them by myself, and I could care less what he thought.
Basically, I was bred to be a strong woman, and not only that, a strong, independent Black woman, African-American woman. And so the bounds of feminism in my life have come from a lot of different places. Even in the church, I was brought up to be strong there and to show a strength that was not realistic.
It's exhausting because as a feminist, you grow up thinking that you can do it all, and that's their motto, is that you can do everything, and we can't. We're not designed to. We have a role and responsibility that God gives us. It's also expensive. It's been expensive to families and marriage and children for many years. And now women are realizing that. Some feminists go through their whole life and they made a choice to not have children and not marry. And as they get older, they're empty because they don't have that in their life. So it's come at a great expense to them.
I felt like this is great. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a businesswoman. I'm going to work all the time, neglect my family. I didn't, of course, think then that it was neglect. I just felt it was, you know, just what I was going to do. I was going to be busy all the time outside my home. But I was going to be angry at my husband because he wasn't doing that exact thing.
It's also confusing because the original purpose for feminism was to have equality and fair treatment. And now there's not equality and there's not fair treatment, especially with our girls. So now there's this transgender cause that's taken place into feminism, and it's impacting our girls. It's also destructive, and it tears apart lives. One area that's big that it tears apart lives is birth control. It's been very costly to our bodies, and small voices are silenced in the womb as a result of that. It's deceptive because it goes under this guise of women's health, and it's not really healthy. The impact of the chemicals from birth control that is done to women's body, there's a lot of premature health issues that are not even addressed, they're silenced. This idea that my body, my choice, forgets about the girls that never had a chance or a choice in the womb.
I want to be bold and I want to be honest about it because of understanding what it could have done to my family. And I say feminism is a curse. It is demonic. It is basically choosing not to accept the differences that God has created. And so what I'm starting to understand is that I was created by God and for God. And to understand that changes the whole aspect of life for me. And that's why I'm really grateful for Heritage. Because what this does is breaks a generational curse in my whole family, and it gives my children an opportunity to know God and to be loved by God.
Remembered back to when I was young, 18, 19, 20, and all the different paths that were out there for making choices about how I would live my life, the decisions that I would be making. And I thought, well, how do you know what is a good path? What is the path that's going to bring me deep satisfaction, that's going to bring joy, that's going to end in a good place? What do we choose? Is feminism, biblical femininity, other things? Which one of those is a good choice for us? What I have found in my life is that there's only one place to go to have the best path, the best choice. And that is to the God who created us, the one who has set up all of the different parts of our life, marriage, parenting, being a part of a church, being a part of a community. What are all these different relationships, and what has he designed them to be? I chose biblical femininity, and I can tell from all of these years now of experiencing that path, it is a good path. But you might find a feminist who would say that her path was good. So how are you going to know? What are you going to decide? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So that feminist who thinks her path was a good one, me who has been on a path of biblical femininity, both of us can say this was a good path. How are you going to know? That path is found in the Bible.
We look at women in scripture, in scriptures like Proverbs 31, Titus 2, and Peter chapter 3. There's an emphasis on character and not outward appearance. Women, respect your home, care for your home, respect your husband, don't be drunk. Feminism says to do the opposite. Don't get married, be independent, get a job, get a degree, party, have fun, be happy, you deserve it. The opposite of feminism says that he chose me to be fully myself yet empowered by the Spirit. I thank God that he saved me. He saved me from my sin. He saved me from myself. And so because of that, I was able to see that I'm loved.
The gospel has impacted my life because it made me much more aware of where I was doing wrong and where my life needed to be tweaked and twisted and adjusted.
If I had to go back in time and do things differently, knowing what I know now, I would have sought the Lord as I graduated from school and married. And then I could have let him be the standard and my guidance for what I want to do with my life, whether that would have been college or working or having children. I think what I've learned in Titus 2 is that none of those other things outside of my home would have been possible if it was going to blaspheme God, if it wasn't going to glorify him and what he said and how he created me.
It is so fulfilling and such a blessing to embrace my identity in Christ specifically as a woman, trusting him and delighting in who he has created me to be and how he has created me to function. There is great delight in this. In this, I am liberated from the curse of chasing the wind and searching for my identity and my purpose, and that which will never satisfy, and that which I wasn't intended to do, which will take me where I don't belong. And it robs me of my purpose, of what I was created to do, to glorify God as an image bearer.
One of the only things that motivates me is the love of Christ. And one of the only things that will get me through the day is the fact that I know that Christ's love is stronger than anything that I'm going through. And my life is not in vain if I am taking the next step in him and reaching out to the person in front of me. One of my goals is to shine Christ's light to those around me. And sometimes that's just by loving the person right in front of you in like the simplest way. Like it could be nothing but washing the dishes or picking up something after them or listening to them talk for 6 hours or texting them back right away or picking up the phone and calling them, going to their house, like whatever it is. Like I want them to see that there is real love in the world, and it's not the romantic love and blah 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 blah, but it's a real true love, as in real relationships, real friendships, because we have Christ and because that's worth living for.
About the great love that Christ has for the church, that he referenced the church as the bride of Christ, the picture of femininity, distinctively female. And I think that that elevates womanhood as we realize that we were created to serve and worship God, to give ourselves fully to him in a way that mirrors biblical femininity, is what the church is called to. And that picture together is so beautiful. So as womanhood is exalted in that, I feel like there is great power, glory, even beauty in serving, nurturing, praying, submitting, supporting, just connecting and undergirding those around us. And I feel like that is such an important calling of us as women. It's to complement and not compete. It's a symbiotic working with biblical masculinity in a way that honors and glorifies God.
Well, God, he just strategically arranged my life so perfectly that I was going to be home. I quit my job. I gave just a few days notice. I ended up being home, and now things have completely changed. I have a new appreciation for being home and for God's design and his plan for my family. It's brought me a lot closer to my husband. We have such a more intimate relationship going, following God's design for us.
I think feminism says that a woman's work is unimportant, menial, worthless. But nothing could be farther from the truth. For a woman who knows who she is in Christ, embraces the gift of her femininity and the purpose he has created her for, and joyfully serves him and others, her work is very important, powerful, essential, even foundational.
What I appreciate about biblical femininity, it just takes a load off of trying to fit in the culture. There's no need for that when you understand who you've been called to be and who you were created to be. Biblical femininity gives me a realistic way to just abide in Christ. It allows me to see that who I am and the love that I receive from God does not come from how I wear my hair. It does not come from how I look. It helps me to understand that I was wonderfully and beautifully made in his image, for him, by him and for him. I don't need a degree. I don't need to earn trophies. I don't need to fit in. I can just rest in him and I can please him and be who he's called me to be. A biblical femininity is a way out of bondage for me and my family.
I have a new appreciation now for the way that God beautifully designed men and women to be different from one another. We are created so different. It's amazing. And it's okay. It's okay for me to be submissive and soft and gentle and to be quiet when I need to be, and also to find comfort in my husband's arms and to seek refuge in him when I need to.
This is our place that God has called us to. It's exciting, it's wonderful, it's rewarding. We were specifically designed to make a happy, wonderful, beautiful home, to encourage and support our husbands, to be there for them, to raise our children. This is crucial. This is not optional. We need homes where children are being raised in what is right. It directly affects society. God designed us with hearts for this and spirits for this if we will embrace it. We have gifts as women to teach and love and train, and we can do it so well when we give ourselves to it.
I'm learning more now. The more I love God, the more I'm loving his design for my family. And I really don't mind organizing my home and cleaning when I used to find it so annoying. Everything made me mad, from things on the floor to clothes over here. Making my bed. I mean, those things, you know, I like to thank God every day. I'm like, thank you. I have this beautiful house. I have this, you know, I have this big, wonderful bed, comfortable bed to sleep in. You know, my kids have clothes to wear. All these things that you find the positive in. Washing dishes. Thank you, God, for the food that we ate. Thank you for giving me dishes to wash. I have dishes. Some people don't have dishes.
Knowing that Christ died for my sins, and I've lived a very sinful life, that freedom of seeking him and knowing that that's the right direction for me has allowed me to see what God says about being a woman, how he designed me, and what that means to be a woman. That I'm meant to be nurturing, not to hide that, not to deny that, that I'm meant to have relations with other people and be out there and be vulnerable. And my vulnerability and the things that I went through in my life, I can see now God's grace in that and his hand over, in many ways, protecting me. Even when it didn't seem like I was being protected, he was protecting me. And because I have God's word and I know that he's real and he's there for me, I can see where he protected me with things that could have went a lot worse than they did.
It has definitely given me a peace and a security of, I don't have to dress a certain way, I don't have to be noticed. I can just be me and be accepted for who I am.
I'm able to do these things because Christ strengthens me. Mm-hmm. The roles as a mom, I treasure. My kids know it. I would sacrifice much, and you know, I do already, and love them dearly. And to be there teaching them is important to me. And I think that's the role of. It's not the role that the world says embrace. Is tremendous pressure to be outside the home, but in the home is where I belong, and I find the ministry, and I do use it and I do say it as a ministry. Like, I can't have things take me away from my ministry in the home. It's you know, it's that's what God's given me, is to minister to my family, and I try to be happy doing it. So
I truly believe that mothers are the greatest heroes. They live selflessness. It is truly laying down your life to be a mother like no other. And I admire the women who lay aside things that they might want to do to nurture life, to raise children, to bring up the next generation. And Jesus lived his life in service, which isn't popular, it isn't natural, it's not what we want to do, but to be like him is to lay down our lives. And I think we have such an opportunity as women to do that.
So much of the work or manifestation of biblical womanhood can be unseen and subtle. It's not flashy and dazzling that commands your attention. But were those things to be taken away, things fall apart. It becomes very obvious how essential those things were. I feel like we see that on a national level as women have abandoned their role in the home to find their purpose somewhere else in a way that has left families to suffer great harm.
Feminism's not the answer. It's not. It's hurtful to you. It's hurtful to your children. It's hurtful to your future and their future. That's when you need to seek the Lord. That's when you need to look at and ask the Lord to reveal to you things that you've done that maybe you need to repent from that will keep you from the Lord so that you can be in His will and He can guide you and bless you where He needs to. When you go through these different challenges and struggles, it's easy to want to give up. But the truth is that God doesn't give up on us, so we don't need to give up on Him. We don't need to not follow through with Him. Because when you're out there in that world, they're going to give up on you. And they'll drop you like a hat. They don't care.
Being anchored in my identity in Christ as a woman and embracing biblical femininity for my life helps anchor me against the disillusionment of like, whoa, wait a minute, this is not actually easy. The world tells us that there's no value in the role of a woman. Specifically for me, I serve as a wife and a mother, a caretaker to my elderly mother-in-law. This is not an easy job, to run a household well, to nurture and nourish and disciple my family, to be a support and encouragement to my husband, to pour myself out daily to meet the needs that are all around me. This is actually hard work. And it's so helpful for me as a woman to know this is my high calling in Christ. This is how He's created me to be. This is my life of worship to Him. And I get to meet these needs around me. I can serve, I can pour myself out. And ironically, this is where I find satisfaction and fulfillment. This is a joy and a delight that I just feel the smile of my Father on my life. And the world would say that we need to live for our own pleasure, but that always leaves you empty and dry. It's in giving that we actually find satisfaction.
So the culture wants to push you into their cookie cutter molds, and we don't usually fit into that. And honestly, the flip side of this is if you can see being feminine, being a young woman who's feminine, you can see that as a cookie cutter mold. Oh, you sit around and change diapers or watch babies and you don't have that much vision to your life. But the truth is, a girl shouldn't feel like they don't know what to do with their lives because they aren't married. Honestly, in some ways, there's a lot more opportunities for a young girl who is unmarried to be investing in ministry opportunities with their local church or their family.
It is such a joy to be part of the local body, have community. So I really feel like a lot of the components of biblical femininity and a heart of a woman who embraces true femininity is caught more than taught. It's when you see it, wow, it's amazing. And to be around that, to be, it's edifying. It helps define who we are as women. And the open accountability, we really do need accountability because we struggle as women. We struggle with doubts and unbelief and we're going very countercultural. We're living in a way that the culture says is ridiculous and wants to put down. And so it is so encouraging to be part of a local body where we can encourage one another, we can confess our sins to one another, we can edify one another, and just have real open relationship as we joyfully, desperately try to live this thing out and be doers of the word and live a spirit-filled life that just honors God. It is so nice to not be alone in that and to be connected with other women and families and brothers in Christ.
The community that we choose to put us in can either discourage or encourage femininity and how we go about it in our daily lives. And so if you have sisters in Christ walking along the same journey, it's such a huge benefit. I think we can encourage and spur each other on. I mean, just in our conversations, right? We do this and pray for one another. And it's a necessity. It's and God says so.
So I've always wanted to have a lot of kids and get married and everything like that. But my position right now is kind of unique because of my family situation. My dad can no longer work.
Now, what I don't think feminism is anymore is there's not a problem with a woman making an income. The problem lies in the motive of why a woman will work outside of the home. If they're there to be a helpmate to their husband and they need to make an income, or their husband gets sick. Problem is that a lot of women work outside of the home to replace their God-given role that God gave them in the home for something that they think is better, only to learn that it's not.
When I meet people, I say, oh yeah, I'm an electrician by trade. And then their response often is, oh, that's so awesome, like, not a lot of girls do that. And, like, I'm so proud of you. But that's not really, I mean, I enjoy it, but that's not really why I do it. So I guess, kind of, you can, I feel like that biblical femininity just comes from the heart, like, what you desire to display in your actions. It's not just like this, if you are going to be a biblical woman, this is like the path you take or whatever. Right now, for me, that looks like working outside the home to help my family. I guess my goal is not to have a career and one-up guys. Which, being in construction is an interesting experience, being around guys all the time. And I feel like it's very detrimental. And you lose your identity when, you know, it's almost saying, as a woman, I'm not good enough, so I gotta be like a guy. I feel like that's how other people, like, pressure you into, like, you need to be like, you need to go do what they're doing, because it's not good enough to just be a woman.
When you see me and my family, just say a quick prayer for us, because we are standing in the gap to break a generational curse. And with God's strength and His help and His love, it stops with me. The feminism stops with me.